Good morning. Today is Wednesday, Veterans Day 2020. Boy, don't we all feel like we've been through the battles. Joining us this morning, he also looks like he's been through the battles, Rex Bone.
Yeah, it's a long few weeks, but it's all good. And again, I don't think we can say thank you to our veterans and our people currently serving thank you enough.
Yeah, it's almost hackneyed, but no, this one's right. This
Veterans Day should be 365 days a year, yeah. But anyway. That and Mother's Day.
All right, here's one that might be appropriate, at least for the month, if not for the show. Talk turkey. Why do we say when someone gets down to the point, he's talking turkey?
I don't even know. Gobble, gobble.
It's an allusion to an anecdote. An Indian and a white man were hunting and agreed that they would share the game equally. They bagged three crows and two wild game. Or in two wild turkeys. The white man divided their bag and gave his hunting companion the first bird, a crow. Then he took a turkey for himself, gave the Indian a crow, then took the other turkey and gave the Indian the last bird, a crow. When the Indian objected, the white man pointed out to the Indian that the Indian had three birds and he had two, to which the Indian replied, "We stop talk birds. We now talk turkey."
I like that. And to this day, now we're still trying to right some of those wrongs.
Yeah. Crows and turkeys, who would have thunk it? You know, Veterans Day is always an interesting event. Yeah, obviously it's a time for reflection. What would really be great was if we were at Arlington or Gettysburg or Pearl Harbor today. Wouldn't that be just
and having
amazing?
Having been at all three and then having the actual honor of going on one of the honor flights and taking the World War II veterans to go back and see the memorial was probably one of the most stunning, heartfelt things I've ever done. And the big thing about it is a lot of those veterans have passed since we went to the honor flight, because that's been nine and a half years. And Catherine Burleson did all those sketchings of all the veterans.
All the guys, yeah.
And
yes.
And she's such a talented artist, but for her to do that for, I think there was 200, it was quite the honor. And some of the people that I went with, I mean, I think of one of my neighbors, Nathaniel Smith, and going with him, and just some of the people that went, it was a, needless to say, wonderful event.
I'm almost to the point now where I'm almost ready to read Brokaw's book.
I
just didn't, yeah.
We did a few fundraisers to fund that. We actually were able to bring a plane in here. It was a big, we chartered buses and took them down to Oakland for one. I actually went on the one that actually left from here with an Allegiant Air. We chartered and went there and back, which was wonderful. The kids all wrote letters to them that they got to open on the way back. It was to the veterans, and it was quite the deal. And for them to see that, and I remember, the one comment I remember at one of the fundraisers, one of the guys got up and they were talking about why was the World War II memorial built last, and he says because they never asked for anything. They just came back from the war, went to work, and built the greatest country in the world.
Kind of like we're hoping for some of the other stuff too. You know, get out of the virus thing, and it's just. Move on.
I think it's going to take a vaccine. I know our numbers are starting to creep up. Nothing compared to what like Shasta and even Mendocino are surpassing us by quite a bit. But the problem being is we have people that work in those counties on a daily basis that have to go over there and work and come back every few days or every day, some for some of the transport drivers and stuff like that. So the exposure, as long as everybody's being careful. So, you know, I know people hate the mask,
I wonder how many people have been tested, retested, tested a fifth time, 25th time, because I've not been. I'm kind of a boring guy. I'm just kind of hanging around here. You know, and I'm sure that there are others that have had it 10 or 12 times or once a week for the entire period and that kind of stuff. I wonder
how many people
have been tested versus how many tests have been given.
We know, and I know we don't get the numbers, or how many are testing and then get it and are asymptomatic, and how many people test and then have to go back and retest, and we don't know if it's a false positive. And I don't think that's as extreme as they say, but it's a test, and it's not 100% accurate. So I know our health officer is retiring or leaving, and I mean, she certainly didn't sign on.
Running, she, I believe, is the phrase.
Well, she certainly didn't sign on for this job, I mean, to this extreme. I mean, because every county has to have a health officer, but they don't sign on for a pandemic, and it's a part-time job to oversee and help with the HHS, and it's just turned into, I mean, for her, a 100-hour-a-week job that, you know, so I... She wants to get back with her family and did not expect to be this tied up and with the sheriff's office. Nobody expected. I mean, it did. Yeah. The everybody loves to say 2 weeks to flatten the curve. But I mean, it's just and if you talk to people, I don't think we'll ever know exactly or work maybe in years the long term health effects. Does it have long term effects on your lungs? Does it have long term effects on? There's so many things we don't know.
If we said yes for some and no for others, okay, fine.
It's, yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. We
can't change it. And, it, yeah. You know, and it's just the nice thing about it is we're finding ways to, when people get it, to, it looks like to combat the seriousness of it. I mean, with all the,
bring
with,
it down,
with all the new down. Cases we're having, we're getting very little hospitalizations. So that means we're either fixing it.
That's
or
what
giving
I was
them
thinking.
Stuff. Yeah.
To me, the magic number is the hospitalizations.
You know, and I don't get any more information than anybody else gets. I mean, I ask questions and emails and say, hey, well, how about this? And I get and then they'll give us guys, because usually it's people ask, what about? And so, you know, with this last little rush of last week and going forward of cases, I says, is this being tied to any one thing? And it wasn't mentioned, and it's a little quick for trick or treat because you know, but next week it's usually a little bit of a lag because you don't go in the next day. So the testing numbers are way up. I know we're doing close to 300 tests a day, so we knew we were going to get, know,
the more you do, the more
yeah.
you do.
Yeah, I mean that's just and especially the asymptomatics, and I don't know if those are a lot of asymptomatics. I just know that. It scares me to a certain extent. I'm in that vulnerable group of the old guys that, you know, have to worry about it and stuff like that. But the biggest numbers we get are the younger people, which I think probably plays into they're out there being a little more social, being a little less, you know, careful, just like anything,
invincible.
Being a little less carefree, invincible. I mean, that's a proven point. And with you do that, they have a better chance of surviving it.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bohm. Rex, as you consider some of the different things that are out there, whether it's with the virus or 2020 or, you know, let's get through this thing.
Niners are terrible.
Yeah, yeah, but the Raiders at least have a chance. I don't know. I've had the thought for a little bit, and I'm starting to kind of chase a little. With Semper Virens, you know, we have so many, what appears to be so many more folks who could use the services than what we have capacity for. The number of beds we've had there in the old General Hospital is what has been for however long, you know, since they moved out to Harrison Avenue. Isn't it time to expand that and really kind of make an effort? Are there 6 beds now? I bet you if we had 25 beds.
Well, we have.
It would be full most nights.
Don't forget, we have Boone too.
We have the
SV on. The issue being, we are the smallest county in the state that has an SV facility. So you need
it
to.
It seems like our need or our demand is a little bit more with all the goofiness that's going around. And I would think, either become a regional, I mean, really do it. do a splash and really, really do it right. Or at least make it so that, you know, it's not the sight and release kind of a sensation that a lot of us have. You see these folks that obviously are needing somebody's attention at all times of the day and night in all the neighborhoods throughout the city.
No, and they are. It's a huge problem, and I'd love to speak at length on it if you could understand all the different idiosyncrasies to DHHS, especially, and mental health. And, I mean, I always hear the same thing because I see somebody on the street, and I always make the phone call. It's just, can you do something? This guy's on the corner. He's beating his head against a pole, you know, or whatever he may be. He's screaming at everybody. He's scaring everybody. Well, the problem is, unless he's a threat to himself or others and he doesn't want services, even though he may not understand, or she or the person may not understand what services are,
we had one a couple weeks ago. He was pretending to shoot people, having something in his hand, but it was, and you know what we were thinking is some, we were kind of in an area that has a couple mature neighborhoods. Some older person's going to come around, not be able to distinguish what is going on there, not having seen the play out for 15 minutes, think that it's legit, swerve.
Yeah.
And now you've got a situation. You know, and we've had that similar things. And you just kind of scratch your head and go, you know, these folks really do need help. Whether they want it or not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they need to be.
They need.
And I've talked to, you know, Connie Beck, our director of DHHS, I've always said, I know we've got our SOS vans out there trying to take care of them, giving them ideas and everything else. But I always wondered, we need to make sure that we're out on the streets basically getting connections with these people to find out, I mean, how far. A lot of times it's just they're out of or they're off their medications.
Isn't that what the Public Guardian used to be involved
in? Yeah, to a certain extent, the Public Guardian's involved in that.
There's the financial component.
But yeah, the financial end of it.
Somebody monitoring.
Yeah, and it's mainly through mental health and DHHS. It's just, it's so overwhelming. The state, in all their glory, has cut back so much of the funding. And, you know, a lot of this is just the psychiatric, even with clinicians and psychiatric help that they need. It's so cost prohibitive to run it in a small county. And trying to address it as needed, and it is probably the number one thing I hear of just on the streets of,
sure, it's unsettling.
You know, yeah, it's and the sad thing is I've taken an approach because I'll stop and talk to them. I take walks in the city. I like to know if I can get to them and see where they're from and everything else. And it is because these, I don't care what you say, this was somebody's child at one time.
Oh, sure.
And some of them on the streets, the follow-up has been with DHHS or just to follow up with them. They live locally, but the families have just given up because and it's not that they haven't tried. It's just after a while.
Fatigue.
It's fatigue, yeah. The rejection, and the inner sorrow where you just, it's almost the tough love type thing, but it's almost, how much can you get beat up? And I feel sorry for the families because you can imagine if you, we're driving down the street and saw a sibling or a child and realized, you know. So yeah. it's just a tough, tough deal. And
so why not? I mean, since we seem to do such a great job of being government around here, why not turn it into a regional? I mean, Napa doesn't have the capacity. Vacaville doesn't have the capacity.
Well, Napa had the capacity, and Ronald Reagan shut it
right,
down.
Right. Yeah, it's the one thing I had a real big issue with. Why not do it here? Why not, you know, talk to Humboldt and maybe let them specialize in psychology rather than forestry or some of the other areas that may not need as many people? Because you keep hearing from DHHS, cities, county folks, local as well as throughout the state, can't find people, can't find the clinicians. Well, let's make it happen here. I mean, if there's a dearth, and it's certainly not like it's contracting, seems to be expanding as an industry, holy cow, your graduates are going to be employed immediately at pretty good salary, help to fill the void that we have here, turn us maybe into something where we don't have as many of these folks out there on the streets as we do now.
What scares me right there is you just said, maybe we could turn this into an industry. And all of a sudden I'm sitting there going, oh my God, we're talking mental health and government as being an industry. No, I understand. But that concept, because other people, you know, are
recoil at the words, but
yeah, no, I'm just saying. But yeah. You can recoil at the words, but the objectivity is it's there right in front of you, and that's something we have to address. And I don't think there's a lack of people wanting to do these kind of things. I think it's the lack of funding from the state in the bottom line, because the state, by the time you put a program.
If it's money, I bet you we could attack it.
You put a program in, state, by the time you get it up and running, they pull the funding.
See, Measure Z. KINS, yeah. News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Rex, some of the different challenges that are out there, you know, I mean, we both are long enough in the tooth and have been around long enough. We've seen the evolutions and the changes. May not have recognized what it was we were seeing, but we've experienced it. As you look around, you know, do you like what you see?
You know, it was funny. I was talking about this last election, and you know, I don't want to talk about elections, but I mean, this was my 17th presidential election. You know, albeit the first three or four, I didn't know. You know, didn't know nothing.
Didn't participate.
Yeah, I didn't participate. But I mean, it and everyone's important, and we're very resilient. We survive. The end of the earth is not going to happen. It's just going to be a little smoother, one way or the other.
Just be a little closer.
Yeah, and so as I move forward, there are some bright spots. There is, like, this COVID thing. I mean, 6 months ago, when we were first into the COVID, we were looking at budget cutbacks. And right now, depending where it goes, we're doing okay sales tax wise.
Keep hearing, you know, that over and over from various jurisdictions.
Yeah, the Wayfair Act helped us. I mean, the tax dollars are they great? No, but they're not devastating like we thought. So that's a big deal. And a lot of that is a lot of people have been home. I know the hardware stores and the construction, they've been good. I know.
Fires tend to help.
Yeah, and had a lot of people work that,
Timing of things has really been beneficial for those of us.
Yeah, and so there's been a little bit of reach out there, and those little things are good. The fish farm, like it or not, we do have somebody looking that's 100 jobs, and it's going to cost $300-400 million.
Who doesn't like it?
You know, huh?
Who doesn't like
it? It's Humboldt County. Somebody will not like it.
Oh, okay. I mean, you got five or ten.
Yeah, you know.
Everything,
I mean, okay. It does have some. I mean, there's a lot of infrastructure that has to go on for them. There's some big infrastructure things, and then you look at some other things going. There are some wood product stuff that's happening that I've been involved in. That's pretty exciting to look at and stuff. Those things are
keeping you buoyed.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, they are keeping. Offshore wind, that's going to take a lot of infrastructure and dock work to get it going, but that's a little buoy. I mean, I believe wind.
I'm excited about the fiber optic line.
No,
the timing of that thing.
No, it's moving along. I've been involved with our broadband and our 299 project quite a bit for the last 4 or 5 years, and dealing with those guys. And again, you know, with Connie Stewart and bringing that. So we have a redundancy. We have all these things. But the idea of bringing and I think we talked about this last time with, when Tyco was thinking about this, that fiber optic line, people like to build near a clean fiber optic line. So that adds some value to the peninsula. But, and we always fight the tsunami thing over there, but we're making a lot of we're doing a lot of building over there, so I think we can overcome that. But I think the most exciting, or what I see, and you know, we've talked about this recently, but I in the last 4 weeks, even more so talking with Larry Doss and things like that. There is so much interest in housing up here.
Well, the compression is just frightening. I mean, you
take a look at the recent announcement in the last few weeks, Facebook. They're going to probably let 50% of their staff, their coders, their all the things else, work from home. Well, if we have a strong redundant, you know, broadband, Wi-Fi, who would not want to live up here? Who would not want to move? I mean, they're paying $3,000 a month for an apartment, or they're living in a $800,000 cracker box around the Barrie. They can sell that, come up here and find a beautiful house in a beautiful neighborhood and actually, you know, be able to stretch out and drive 10 miles and not see anybody if you want to go on a hike and
things like that. Well, that's what I was thinking with this new fiber optic line, but when is it due to arrive?
I don't have the exact date. Everybody knows it's coming. It's kind of like the
218 from Newark.
Yeah. And that one's not going to be as... That's our broadband, our land base, you know, the 299 project, and the bases are here, the 36 fiber optic line that's here. Those are going to play well for people that want to work. Because we have... It's pretty amazing to me how many people we have that work here, who live, who their base is out of L.A. or here, and they fly out once a week to, or once a month or twice a month to do their, you know, their business. I mean, attorneys that don't normally go to court. Most everything's done, you know, online with, you know, and then you do have to show up to negotiate, I guess, every once in a while. But there is a lot of people that work at home, and they've decided, why am I working at home? And especially now that you got to come in once a week for your company meeting or everything else, everybody's gone to Zoom, so now you don't have to go into the office at all. You can Zoom everything.
Yeah, I think it's still a little unsettling.
It drives me nuts. I've had two today, and it just drives me nuts.
Well, and when I start getting complimented for wearing clothes, it's like, what?
Well, and the problem with the Zoom, you don't know if they have pants on, and that drives me nuts. Yeah, but anyway, that's a whole different thing. But I think what's going on is that's not a cottage industry, but if people come up here and work, and the infrastructure isn't need a great improvement, but they come up here and they spend those dollars, they put their kids in our schools, they become part of our community. Here we go.
And they're contributing. Members of the community.
And new people to a community, they embrace it too because.
Oh yeah,
you
know, zealots.
Yeah,
not like us.
Yeah, and as long as they don't try to change the world, the famous line is, "Well, I came from the Barrie. I don't do that because they did that in the Barrie." And I'm going, God, we have to evolve a little bit. Progression is a natural.
Watch your words closely, buddy. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. Holidays, normally we're talking about good stuff. I mean, Veterans Day today certainly is something that take a minute or 10 just to kind of reflect. Thanksgiving's going to be a little interesting this year, a little different. How are you guys going to handle it?
Well,
at home.
I've, you know, probably the kids, my, you know, the grandkids and stuff. I'm not sure about my sisters. They're a little bit older than I am. And they have been concerned. I mean, rightfully so. And I just don't know about I imagine one will go down to her daughters. I'm just guessing. The other one, I'm not sure exactly. Mary, I'm not sure. Because I understand. I mean, there is a fear amongst people of getting it. I mean, because it's, as we were talking earlier, younger people, I use the word survive, and it wasn't as much survive, is the symptoms aren't as catastrophic or it doesn't hit them as hard.
Or you don't have as many other things that it can snowball.
So I see where it can run the gamut a little bit easier amongst the younger people. So I think the gatherings of 25, you know, and 30, which isn't a huge gathering when the families are talking, I don't know if that happens because it's going to be hard to distance. It's going to be hard to, you know, you can't wear a mask. Those things. So I think if people are cognizant of that and, you know, maybe they visit people in shifts. I'm not sure. I was hoping we would be farther along when I saw this going in June and July because holidays are just so sacred.
And with everything being topsy-turvy already, you'd like to have something that was...
Yeah, that you could hang on to. Well, and if nothing else, even 2020 has been just a crap storm.
Bugger, yeah.
Crap storm. I don't know what to George Carlin. I was careful what I said there. But I'm just saying there are some things in life. And Halloween, we hit some bumps at Halloween. You know, everybody's worried about what they could do and everything else, but having strangers come to your door. And I mean, there were some neighborhoods that, and I mean, I know they tried to do events and everything else. And Halloween is a holiday, but I mean, it's
not the same.
Thanksgiving and Christmas are just sacred. And if nothing else, if we're going to fall back on anything during this, what we've been going through, it's family. And I mean, it's just, you want to grab them all and hang on and be thankful for what you got. So, and kind of like you were saying, the people on the streets. I mean, I don't know. I used to go down and help Betty at Thanksgiving and stuff like that. I don't know what those look like this year. They're still going to have some sort of...
Trying to figure out,
you know,
all kinds of things.
There's just so many things, how you space, how you do, how you... And so...
Drive-through Thanksgiving does not sound appealing.
No, it just doesn't. And a highlight, and I know we've been discussing it, without your guys' help, we wouldn't have pulled it off this year, and we're looking for more help. But we have turned in our application to the health department for our truckers parade on December 12th.
On the route.
And it has come back. They've, you know, all the advertising that we put out will have, we're going to mask, we're going to have to limit how many people go on every, you know, familials and stuff like that. But I'm kind of hoping it's a 5.7 mile route. And hopefully some of the areas are really busy, some are not. And I hopefully people are going to stretch out, maybe stay in their cars, take advantage of parking lots when we go by. But that is a tradition that, you know, your dad and you and everybody has started, and we've been able to carry forward, and it has a lot of excitement. And as we do this, I got a call from the Fortuna Chamber. They're doing the same thing. They're going to run their Truckers Parade on Friday night so they can go on to that. And then Sunday the 20th, Ferndale's going to have their Tractor Parade, which is 1.3 miles, and everybody's going to distance, but we're all going to, you know, promote masks and everything else. But there's little things, you know, we're not going to have the big holiday gatherings.
Lighting of the Christmas tree.
I mean, I have a really good friend that does a lot of Santa Claus gigs, and we're trying to figure out, there are a few of them going to be done on a smaller scale, but I mean,
it's just
good God, it's Christmas. And if you hold
anything, time for 21.
If you hold anything dear to your heart, it's the holiday season, because it means, it's not just shopping. It's not about 20 Amazon packages. It's not right. about anything else. It's about getting together and doing stuff with family. And it's just, I think that's right now, if we need anything, that's probably what we need more than anything.
And don't forget your vets.
Yes, yes. Today. No, the vets are...
Don't forget that.
Take a moment, thank a vet, shake their hand, or just be damn happy that they've done what they have done for us.
Or spend a moment in a cemetery.
Yes.
You'll see which ones.
I will.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right.
See you very tomorrow.